He's dedicated to the art, and
He
we
will
love
put a
him for
banana
that.
in his butt if he needs to.
Hey guys, this is Bridget.
And this is Will.
And this is Mary.
Welcome to
No Stupid.
We have to do an episode where I pick a couple of songs from Eric Church's new albums and Mary reviews them just because I think it would be funny. My own personal entertainment.
And Mary's own personal purgatory.
Torture, yeah.
I was like, this is what hell
Mary's
is like.
Just Eric Church playing.
And Luke.
That's gonna be heaven. So me.
It's either you're in hell or I'm in heaven and there's Chris Church playing somewhere. We're with each other. It's one or the other. I'm counting on both of us being in hell, so
well, if we both wind up in hell and Eric Church is playing, it's still gonna be heaven for me. So So it's new, kids.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute.
A hot minute.
Nothing much. I'm currently doing report cards since they're due Monday.
Nice. Fails across the board. Fail.
Yep.
Fail.
You all fail.
I'll suck.
But yeah, that's about it. Let's see what happened in this. Oh, actually, I'm thinking about this right now. It's kind of awesome. The school I work at has a bunch of people around my age. So a bunch of the guys are a bunch of nerds. So we're starting our own D&D group soon.
Nice. Nerds.
Teacher D&D group. Yeah. I'm house sitting right now.
Nice.
So hanging out with some doggos.
That's the best. What about you, Mary?
Either just work. Work. That's about it.
Oh.
It's been very boring. It's nothing exciting's happened. Yeah, I don't know. Not much is going on. I discovered a cartoon though that I have been watching lately that I like. It's called Amphibia. Amphibians are in there. It's about a girl that gets transported to this frog world essentially through like a magic box. It's really cute, and I found out about it because it was developed and created by this guy. He's half Thai, and Brenda Song. You may know Brenda Song from DCOMs such as Wendy Wu, Homecoming Warrior, and The Ultimate Christmas Present. She is the voice of the girl that gets transported to the frog world, and she's actually half Thai. And then the character is also Thai. And so I was very interested because I've never, come across a cartoon or kind of this presentation of anybody who's Thai. And so I was like, what? I have to watch it. And actually it's really funny.
That's cool.
So
that's cool.
Yeah, it's each episode is 30 minutes and there's like two episodes within that and they're both 15 minutes. So it's really fun. It's cute. Pretty funny, actually. There's some adult humor like slipped in there, every now and then. And
love
it's
it.
Good. So if anybody's bored and they want to check out Amphibia on Disney Plus, it's there. I recommend it.
Awesome. Nothing new. Join a boxing gym.
What is it called?
It's called Rockbox. It's not open yet. It's actually perfect because it'll open when my trainer goes like on maternity leave. So I'll do that for a while. And then when she comes back, I don't know. I'll see how I like it. I mean, it's kind of pricey, so I don't know how long I'll stick with it, but I want to give it a try. And it's pretty close to my house. I mean, as close as any gym is to my house, so I'm pretty excited.
That's cool. Yeah. I hate going to the gym with all those people. So.
Yeah. You see, and that's what I like about this place is they have like lights. It's kind of like a concert. Like it's not bright, overhead white lights, which is what I hate the most about the gym because you feel like you're on display. And it's kind of like a darker room, blue and purple lights. And so, it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
I got my boxing gloves already.
Nice. I feel you're like boxing at a rave.
Yeah, basically. It'll be awesome. So. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess yesterday was my first day back at the gym, or not the gym. We were just talking about the gym, at the office. So that's my one day a week that I have to go back in. So it's kind of cool.
Man. Yeah, that must be nice to get out.
Yeah, it is. It is nice. Got to see some of the people that I don't immediately work with, who like aren't in my department. It was good to see them again.
So what are we doing this week?
Scott Pilgrim.
Mm-hmm. So our new idea is that we're kind of getting burned out by decomp. So we're thinking maybe once a month we'll do one of our favorite movies or just a random movie that we could watch. And then one table talk and then two decomps instead of three decomps and one table talk, just to mix it up, because I think we're going a little crazy with some not so quality decomps. It's kind of hard.
Yeah. It's just it's hard to get through.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah. So yeah. So Scott, this week is Scott Pilgrim. Surprise. Also, you said, Will, it's the 10th anniversary.
It was last year, it turns out, but.
Oh. But so this is the 11th anniversary.
Yes. But it kind of blows my mind how it's already been 10 years since the movie came out. This movie is basically very close to our hearts as our fan group, because I think
we all saw it together.
We all saw it together, and we quote it every single time. Like
all the time.
This and Bridesmaids, I think, is the two movies that we quote the most, I think.
Yeah.
We should do Bridesmaids one day.
We should.
That'd be great.
So kind of coming up, Will, we're doing, now we're doing Scott Pilgrim. Mary, what movie did you want to do?
I don't know what I said either, so it's okay. It's fine.
Queen.
Oh, Spice World. Mary wants to do Spice World, which is awesome, because that one's also very near and dear to our hearts. And also, I want to do Boondock Saints, because you know, it was just St. Patrick's Day, and Beth and I watched it while we were up there, and we just love it. Will and Mary have never seen it. Yeah, but Mary, have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, so that'll be kind of fun, because it'll be exciting to see what you guys think of it, if you guys hate it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So we're changing it up a little bit, but we're not going to do those all back to back. But those are some of the non-decoms that we're going to do coming up. So,
and we could potentially bring some friends over and have them discuss their movies that they would like to talk about.
I was thinking about maybe having Beth on for Boondock Saints. You guys are okay with that?
No.
Okay.
Hear that, Beth? No.
No.
I don't want you here.
Tried.
I said no.
The council has spoken and they decided no.
So, Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Yep. It released on August 13th, 2010. We were mere 20-year-olds at this time.
Oh, just babies. Little babies.
Yeah. This movie's great because the cast is amazing. Mm-hmm. It has Michael Cera, who's Scott Pilgrim, the main character. Macaulay Culkin's little brother, Kieran Culkin. He plays Wallace. Mm-hmm. Anna Kendrick's in it. Aubrey Plaza. Jane Schwartzman. Who else is in there? There's Chris Evans is in it.
Brie Larson.
There you go. Brie Larson's in it.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yep, Mary Elizabeth.
Thomas Jane is in it for a minute.
Brandon Routh. There's so many superheroes in this movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of superheroes in this movie. Yeah.
There's what is there? There's Captain Marvel, Captain America,
Punisher.
Superman,
Punisher.
Huntress, the Punisher. Yeah, so yeah, there's Huntress. Yeah, the Punisher, Captain America, Captain Marvel, Superman.
So good.
Oh, man. There's like,
also
this
the
is the MCU, or, DC.
Yeah. This is the fanfic we all wanted. Yeah.
Wait, that's funny. Was he the Atom? What was he in Legends of Tomorrow? I can't remember.
He's the Atom.
Okay, I was making sure. But yeah, so the whole premise of the show is that in a magically realistic version of Toronto, a young man must defeat his new girlfriend's seven evil exes one by one in order to win her heart. So that's the whole synopsis. And basically a whole movie.
Mae Whitman's in it too. Sorry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, so the whole premise is Scott Pilgrim, Michael Cera, has to fight Ramona's seven evil exes.
They're evils.
Evil. Eagle X's.
Caca!
Caca! Caca!
They just dive bomb his head while he's walking around.
This movie's great because the humor, the writing's amazing, because it's based off a graphic novel, actually. And so they went pretty much straight on from the graphic novel, and it's very stylized with like video game tropes, and soundtrack's really good.
It's kind of the unexpected dry humor, like just stuff that you're not expecting, like the Seinfeld part where it's like there's like a laugh track and like it shows them back at the apartment and it's like the little Seinfeld theme song, and because it was just so unexpected and random, and it worked so well. Like, it's directed really well. It really is. Mm-hmm. It's such silly, kind of ridiculous humor, but put together so nicely.
Yeah, it's just directed really well. Good, funny transitions and stuff between scenes, and the fight scenes are really great. Mm-hmm. It's just everybody, whoever worked on this movie, whoever you are, did a great job.
They're having the times of the time of their life.
Edgar Wright directed Scott Pilgrim, and he's a really great director because he did Shaun of the Dead, he did Baby Driver, he did Hot Fuzz, World's End. So if you like any of those movies and you haven't seen Scott Pilgrim for whatever reason, you should check it out because it's amazing. And Edgar Wright stated that this movie was done in the style of a musical, but instead of people breaking out into song and dance, they break out into a fight.
Well, it makes sense.
And the first scene actually is like a musical fight scene, because everybody is like, what is going on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess we could kind of go through each X, and we could talk about like who's our favorite X, what are our favorite lines to the movie. I'll kind of go through by timeline. Okay. So in the beginning, it's basically Scott Pilgrim. He is in a band called the Sex Bob Bombs, and he's the bassist in the band, and he decides to bring his girlfriend, Nyes Chow, who turns out to be a little underage, because I think, he's a freshman in college, and she's, like, a junior in high school or something.
Yeah, something
like that. He's not in college, though.
Yeah, they're not, like, age-wise, though. He's, like, 19.
22.
22? Oh,
he's 22, and
she's, way underage.
Yeah, because in the movie they talk about, like, I don't know. I forget who's giving him shit. I think it's Kim, who's, like, his ex-girlfriend, but she's in the band with him because she's giving him shit. And she goes, what are you, like, 30 already?
Oh, okay.
And he goes, I'm 22. And then, like, the a fun thing about the movie is just, like, you know, some fun tidbits, like, just pop up on the screen. And it's, like, Scott Pilgrim, 22 years old. Because is 17.
And like they don't do anything, like they kind of hold hands and like that's it. Other than that, they go to the arcade and stuff. Like it's very minimal as like what their dating is.
I think he talks about it because somebody's like, have you guys done anything yet? And he's like, we held hands once, but then she got really shy, and you know.
Well, it isn't Kim. Like Kim's a little, like, I think she's still kind of like Scott, right? Like, isn't that kind of, because she does like the finger guns, she finger bangs herself, and she like, you know, pretends to shoot. Yeah, not in that sense. She like, you know, pretends to shoot herself when Knives is there, because she just kind of, she's still kind of in love, but it's like not a huge part, which is funny. She's just kind of like, whatever, like, you know, but.
Like later on in the movie, like they kind of foremention it again, where someone's like, "Yeah, you and Kim used to date. You're totally fine." And you see Kim in the background, just like staring at Scott, and like in the distance, like a death stare. Like, yeah, she's totally over it. She's just like,
yeah, she's totally stare. Over it.
Yeah, so she, Scott brings over Knives, and they do like a little band practice, and she like freaks out because, you know, as a young youthful gal, you get excited over everything because, you know,
someone's in high school.
Yeah,
Especially if they're in like a band, like that's the that's the cool thing in high school. Like
your that's the thing that you want to do. You want to be in a band. You want to do some cool stuff. So, so of course she's like freaking out. She's like, "This is awesome!" And she's like, "Oh my goodness, you guys are so cool! Like you guys should be in competition." And then I forgot the lead singer guy. He's like, "Yeah, we're going to try to do a competition later on." And see if we could win and get like a contract or a record label to get to us. So that goes on. And then basically it talks about like the whole relationship that Knives and Scott has. And you could tell that Scott's kind of just like, uh-huh, cool. Yep. We're together. We're clicking, but not clicking. So he's just kind of like, I basically just like saying, I have someone, which is cool, whatever. And then all of a sudden he sees this beautiful lady going down the streets with skates on. And then he's just basically like, oh, who's that? Like, finds out that it's Ramona. And then kind of goes into the whole thing where he's crushing on Ramona, but still dating Knives. So it's kind of this weird, complicated relationship going on. And then eventually he breaks up with Knives and starts dating Ramona. After like the first date where Mary would mention about like how Mary has like this giant section of tea. And <Yes. laughs> yeah, so then after that, they kind of figure out that, all right, we're kind of a thing, cool, whatever. And so they go to their first gig at a concert, at a little venue. And this is where Ramona's kind of like, yeah, you know, I'm just here, kind of like little. And then it turns out that one of the later bands is the first Evil X, and his name is Matthew Patel. Yeah, so he's the first Evil X. So this is where Scott kind of discovers, like, what's going on? Because he comes up, they're playing in the band, and then Matthew gets up and just, like, yells from the crowd, like, Scott Pilgrim! And Scott's just like, what's going on here? And Scott, he comes in and basically tries to like sneak attack Scott. And this is where it becomes like the whole video game trope thing where it's like a little Street Fighter battle going on. And because earlier he sends an email to Scott and he's like, we're going to fight to the death. And I remember Scott, he like skims through it earlier in the movie. He's like, he reads fight to the death. He's like, this is boring. And he like just casually just deletes the email, like as if it's spam. And so goes actually, back and then, oh, go
ahead. While you're on that point, I think it's important. Like, I think we should mention how he like meets Ramona because he like sees her, like you said, like while him and like Knives are at the library, cause she's like delivering a package. And then he orders a package from Amazon and
what?
Sorry, I got a phone call from my mom. I sent her a voicemail. So sorry, mom. So he's on the computer and that's when he gets or maybe it's a little bit later, but he orders a package from Amazon because Ramona's gonna deliver it. And then he just like sits in front of his front door waiting for the package, and his roommate is like, are you waiting for the package you just ordered? And that's how he like ends up getting Ramona to go out with him, is because he won't sign for his package. So he kind of is like, I'll sign for it if you want to hang out, we can hang out. And so that's kind of where that goes. I just think that's funny.
Isn't that how Scott is very,
you order something, you just sit in front of your front door. Yeah. It's coming. And I just think it's funny that he sits there and waits. And he is not very technologically, I don't know, advanced. Because when he gets that email from Matthew, it's like the AOL. Like, you've got mail. And he goes, this thing claims I have mail. his roommate is like, it's amazing what we can do with computers these days. So I just think it's... that's just kind of like how him and Ramona end up hanging out. It's just because he won't sign for his Amazon package. I've never done that to a delivery person.
Which is kind of creepy if you think about it. Like, it's a little creepy that he does that.
if that was real, if it's like real life, it's like, then I just ordered whatever, you know, if I'm a delivery person, just sign for it, you know? So it is creepy.
Too, because yeah, it's creepy. And it's funny too, that when he signs a package, he just throws it straight to the trash.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true. And that's a fun thing about this movie too, is because they do a lot of like practical stuff. Because I saw there's like bloopers and deleted scenes, and that take where he just throws the package, I think it took 27 takes for him to make it into the garbage. And it's just like, you just see it take after take of him missing and missing and missing, and people, you know, once he misses and they cut the scene, people in the background are like, like, you almost got it. It's just really funny. So you should watch that scene, the bloopers, if you ever come across it. If you watch it soon.
Oh, yeah. And then funny thing before that, during this whole time, when he breaks with Knives basically tried to, like, contact Scott. And there's this really, one of my favorite scenes is when Knives knocks onto the door of their apartment, and his roommate comes up. It's like, oh, hey, it's Knives. And so he opens the door, and Scott wants to avoid Knives completely. So he opens the door, and she's like, is Scott here? And in the background, you see Scott jump through the window to the outside. And he goes like, no, he just left.
And then he like reaches like inside to get his coat.
Mm-hmm. It's like one of the funniest scenes I have, because it's like so unexpected, because you see Scott like freaking out for a second. He's like, oh, Knives is here. I should hide or something. No, he literally just like in the background, you see him just like jump through the window to avoid talking to Knives. I don't know, that was like the funniest thing. And that's when I kind of realized in the beginning, I was like, I think I'm going to like this movie a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say a lot of like all the scenes with Knives is really funny. Because during the like the first X fight, or whatever, she's like at the Battle of the Bands with everybody, because like Scott's kind of seeing Ramona, but then he's still kind of seeing Knives. Like it's kind of like he's like cheating, you know, like he's getting between two women. He's got two women, you know, but like she's so excited about them going on stage, she faints and she misses the entire thing, which is funny. And Scott's sister is Anna Kendrick, who's amazing, and she's very sarcastic and is like, Knives, how do you know Scott? And she's telling the story, and she goes, I was on a bus with my mom. And then she just kind of gets distracted by the band, and Ramona's like, is that literally all there is? Is that literally the end of the story? It's just, that always makes me laugh. She's like, I'm on a bus with my mom. And that's it. So,
and the scene is kind of funny too, because Kieran Culkin's character is gay, and Anna Kendrick brings a date to the show. And then like at one point she turns around and Kieran Culkin is making out with her date. And she's like, God damn it. Like, that's all she can say.
Again.
Yeah, not again. Yeah, not again. Because he just like steals her boyfriends.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
Because she's like very aware of it during the scene too.
Yeah, she's like not, she's not confused. She's just frustrated. Because
yeah.
it apparently happens to her all the time. But same.
Dang it, Wallace.
Same Anna Wallace, that's his name.
And then the band actually they compete against, they're very like very like sad and like emo group. I think one of their songs is like, I'm sad, so very sad. It's like one of their songs, and they just sing, I'm so sad. Thank you.
Oh yeah, because also like Wallace is also a sarcastic kind of dick, but they sing that song and he's like, it's not a race, and then the little girl drummer flips him off.
Then there's another song that says, we hate you, go die now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, like, they kind of aim it towards Wallace, and Wallace is like, oh god, I love this one.
Yeah, so the first battle is against Matthew Patel, and then kind of explains like, hey, you know, I'm Ramona's first evil ex. And he's like, first, all right. And so they go into this huge like fight scene, and of course the little musical. And then after Scott Pilgrim wins, he knocks him out, and the way that the X's basically die, they explode into coins. And that's pretty much like, at each X, the higher you get, the more coins you get, which is kind of funny. And it shows like these pixelated, like 1,000 and like point system showing like, hey, it's the first X, and the second one's like 2,000. But I thought the first X was really good introduction. It was pretty fun and kind of just like, oh, this movie's going to go somewhere weird. And it does for sure. So after that, they kind of, Ramona and Scott goes in the bus, and Ramona kind of reminds him, he's like, yeah, you kind of have to go through my evil exes. And Scott's like, well, I have to fight all your evil ex-boyfriends. And she keeps like emphasizing exes. So that kind of gives a hint on that. What was the second ex? Was that Chris Evans?
I think so.
Okay, yes.
This one has like one of my favorite lines, and again, it's so simple, but it still kills me. And Wallace walks up to him and he's like, "Hi, big fan." And Chris Evans just goes, "Why wouldn't you be?" Because he's like an actor, a big time like action star. And yeah. So they're hanging around on set, but I don't know. I just love the "why wouldn't you be?" I say that all the time about everything.
Yeah, and this is a time when Chris Evans was Captain America as well. I think it was in between the first and second movie. So it was weird seeing, you know, the nice, like, Steve Rogers into this, like, hardened, like, sarcastic a-hole, Lucas Lee. Because, like...
Oh, I guess so, but I also kind of remember Chris Evans from Not Another Teen Movie, where he was, like, a douchebag idiot. So, I don't know. He kind of reminded me a little bit of that character.
I always remember that scene in Not Another Teen Movie where he has that banana in his butt.
Oh, yeah.
I remember it well. I remember seeing an interview with him, and somebody said something about, like, what wouldn't you do in a role? And he's like, I mean, I don't know. I've had a banana up my ass, so there's probably nothing I wouldn't do.
Chris Evans is a dedicated actor.
He's dedicated to the art.
He will put a banana in his butt if he needs to.
So he's the second evil ex. And one of my favorite, well, there's a lot of favorite things about this one, but when he first punches Scott Pilgrim, he like punches him, and then he has like his little like assist to kind of like spray his knuckles. And his whole shindig is that he has a bunch of stunt doubles. So he basically, Scott has to fight all the stunt doubles this whole time while Lucas Lee kind of just like hangs out to the side. It's like, oh, whatever. And the way that Lucas Lee dies in this one is Scott knows that he's a skateboarder. So Scott kind of looks at this railing that goes all the way down, like a bunch of different staircases going down. And so Scott's like, I bet you can't do this something. And Lucas is like, do what? He's like, I bet you can't do the thingy on the rail. And Lucas like, it's called a grind, bro. And yeah, I could totally do it. It's like, okay, let me see you do that grind thingy on the rail. And so, of course, Lucas Lee not wanting to like back out on a challenge, he does. And he goes super fast to a point where he'll go to the end and he basically explodes. And it's super like, like an atomic bomb explodes because he goes way too fast.
I like this scene too, because like when he's grinding, it shows him grinding, and then there's like a, since it's in Canada, it's kilometers per hour, so they have a kilometers per hour like thing, but it's like him grinding, and then it cuts back to like Scott and Wallace, and they're like, wow. And then he does like a trick, and he's grinding, and then it cuts back to them, and they're like, wow. And then he's going, and then he explodes, but I just like the, it's like super action, it's like, da-na-na-na-na-na, and then it just, it's like a really abrupt cut. That's really funny, just to be like, ooh. He is a pretty good skater. And then he explodes. Well,
and like Wallace is like, it's funny because, you know, Wallace is Scott's friend. And like deep down, you can tell he wants Scott to win, but he's also kind of rooting for Lucas Lee a little bit because he's kind of like huge fan, has a crush on him. And so it's kind of funny that like, you know, because he kind of helps Lucas Lee out at one point because he brings him his skateboard.
But he also says like, I want your adopted babies.
Yeah.
Well, the whole wow power, I remember now, like, he goes, wow. And then he makes a weird, like, Whoa. Like, doesn't really say well. He goes, whoa.
Like he's also turned on too.
Okay, so Evil X number three, I think, is all of our favorites. Because that's Todd. And who wants to talk about Todd the vegan?
Oh.
Well, before we get to Todd real fast too, there's like a between the fight with Lucas and then Todd, Roxy shows up, which is the fourth ex, because Scott's like walking in an alley and she like essentially like goes to like psych him out a little bit. And Michael Cera and Mae Whitman were both on Arrested Development together. So it's really funny just to see them in like a different setting. But Roxy is like a I don't know. You don't find out who she is until after Todd. But the thing she says sometimes, she goes, is like, you better. God, what did she say? She's like, your brain just cast your last rain check. Or she says something that doesn't make sense. And Scott's like, what is that from? And she goes, it's from my brain. And then she just disappears. So it's like, I will be deadly serious next time. And he goes, what does that mean? And she goes, never mind. And then she just disappears. I just think it's funny how he's just like, what? What? And she's like, no, never mind. It's dumb.
I love to postpone, darling, but just cash my last rain check.
Oh, yeah, that's right. What's that from? And then also, I think I like Todd's. Running to Todd because you also run into Scott's ex. Uh-huh. Because right before Todd's thing, Scott goes to see, or he's on his sister works at like a coffee shop where Aubrey Plaza also works, and he calls her and he's like, I'm coming in for a coffee, and it shows her working in the thing, and then right when he goes to order, like it. Aubrey Plaza turns around. It's like, Scott Pilgrim, you fucking idiot. Or she says something, you know? And then it cuts to Anna Kendrick's character, Stacy, and she's outside and she's like, sorry, I had to go. But at the coffee shop is where Scott runs into Envy Adams, who is like his kind of not evil ex, but kind of ex looming presence that is in the movie. Kind of like he's mentioned it before and stuff. And Envy Adams is played by the amazing Brie Larson, who did singing in this movie, by the way. So other amazing, but she invites Scott and Ramona to her show because she's in this big band called The Clash at Demon Head with Superman, who is Todd. And so that's why they're at the show. And that's how they run into Todd, is because Scott was invited to the show by Envy.
And this is where Knives finds out about Scott and Ramona dating. And she's like, I don't see what she sees in her. And she's like, this must be the hair. So she decides to put highlights in her hair, like blue highlights in the hair. That will lead into one of my favorite lines in the movie as well. But
because it shows like, I remember that scene because like Knives is like, what the fuck is, yeah, like why is she so amazing? And she's coloring her hair like Ramona colors her hair, but that whole scene where she goes like to drugstore and then she gets like the hair coloring and then she's complaining to her friend, she's like, she's so old, what is he seeing her, she's probably like 25, and now it's like, man, I'm like older than that. And then she's and just like that scene where her friend's just kind of like going along with it. And she's like rinsing her hair in the bathtub and you can't hear anything that she's saying. And her friend is like, I can't even hear anything that you're saying. She just gives no shits. It's just that little side character is really funny. Because Knives texts young Neil, who's like, he's not in the band, but he's like a friend of the band. They all like hang out to each other. And so she's like texting him to get with him to try to make Scott jealous. But yeah, when she that's one of my favorite lines too, later on at the concert. When they all go backstage to hang out with Envy and Todd.
What causes Scott to say I need to pee on her? Because he's like that wheel that goes around. It's just like, I know her and then I need to pee.
Okay, it is like before the Clash at Demon Head show, but they're all like getting drinks at the bar because Ramona goes to the bathroom and then Envy follows her, and then Ramona's washing her hands, and then Knives also is washing her hands, and she has like a blue highlight where Ramona is, and Ramona notices, and she walks out of the bathroom and she's like, what the hell? So yeah. She leaves, and then Knives goes and goes to hug young Neil, and so she asks Scott, who's that girl again? And that's where the wheel pops up, that it's like, I have to pee on her. Which is, let's see. Oh, and she goes, how old is she? Because he goes, who's that girl? Then someone, Kim says, Scott used to date her. And then Ramona goes, how old is she? She looks young. And so that's when the wheel pops up. And the options that it lands on is who, her? And then I gotta pee. But like when the wheel is spinning in his head, it lands in between them. And so it turns into I gotta pee on her. Which is really funny.
It's like this movie's very campy, but not in like super campy way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's done really well to where it's not cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually entertaining.
I don't know. It's everything that they translated from the graphic novel, they did it in a really amazing way for the movie, where it's just, it makes sense and it's funny. And it's like, it brings the camp over, but it totally works. Which is, I think it's really hard to do, I would think, because especially with something like a graphic novel, you know?
This movie had potential to be terrible.
Yeah.
It was really, but they did it. It's not, it's great.
Yeah. And so after Scott has to pee on her, it's like, now the show's going to start with Envy, Adams, and Brie Larson sings for the movie, but it's actually, so it's her vocals like in the movie, and Brie Larson's a really great singer actually, but like the song's called Black Sheep by the band Metric, which is, it's a great song just because it's in the movie. So if you're looking for the song from this movie, it's called Black Sheep by Metric. But when the announcer's like, the Clash at Demon Head, and then, you know, Envy comes on, and Todd is like, Scott's like, that's the douchebag my Envy left me for. And Ramona goes, I know. And Scott's like, wait, you know? And it just kind of zooms in, like, on Todd. It's like flashback to him, and it's like a side-by-side of like Todd Scott, and Todd has this like, I'm gonna fuck you up, like, look on his face. He looks very angry. Probably because like, hey, it's Scott. And also, hey, it's Ramona. I'm gonna kick your ass, guy. So after the show, Kim, Neil, Knives, Steven, Stills, the lead singer of the band that they're in, and then like Ramona and Scott are all hanging out, and Aubrey Plaza's character comes out and is like, for whatever fucking reason, Envy wants you to come all of you to come backstage. And everybody starts going backstage, and Knives asks, how do you guys know Envy? And they go, Scott used to date her, and her face is just like a surprised emoji face. And so in the back they have a kind of like a very tense conversation, because it's like Envy and her band and everybody like on one couch, and then Scott and everybody on the other couch, and so they're just kind of like trading barbs back and forth, like, because Scott and Envy are exes, and then Todd and Ramona are exes, and so, and everybody else is just like, this is fun. And they're talking, and then Knives goes, she just like comes to this realization because she loves Clash of Demon Head. Earlier in the movie, she mentions it's like one of her favorite bands ever. She goes, "I've kissed the lips that have kissed yours." And Todd stands up and punches her in the face. And she's, you know, she's like knocked out cold. And when he punches her, you see the like the animation in the movie of her highlights in her hair being thrown out of her hair. And then Neil is, he goes to Knives because she's on the floor, and he goes, "He punched the highlights out of her hair." And then he looks up and he's like, "He punched the highlights out of her hair." It's just so funny. Because in what movie would that ever happen, you know?
Right.
And like, what world would that happen? And so Scott is like, "I've had enough of this shit." And
he actually says another one of my favorite lines, "You cocky cock."
You cocky cock. Yeah, there's a lot of good dialogue just even in this scene. Because one of the ones that we say later is like the whole maid like monologue is like, "She does tell it to the cleaning on lady on Monday." What? Because the cleaning lady. But Scott is like, I'm gonna fight you. And then he goes to punch Todd, and it turns out Todd has special powers because he's a vegan. And it's because being vegan makes you better than other people is why.
Everybody knows that.
In this movie that Todd gets cool powers. And so Scott gets his ass kicked really hard just because, you know, Todd has all these awesome superhero powers essentially. And it's funny because like he's getting his ass kicked and then he gets kicked through a wall and his friends are like, "Hey, we're gonna go get some pizza down the block, okay? Let us know if you need anything." And they just leave him, which is so funny. There's also this funny line that Scott's like on the ground and he's like, "I'm just wet because it's raining." And Ramona's like, "It's not raining." And it's like, "Oh, it's because I peed myself." "If I peed my pants, would you just pretend it's raining?" Ramona tells Scott like why she would ever date Todd. And apparently they were just like really angsty teens together. And then his dad sent him to Vegan Academy, which is why they broke up. Which is really funny. But like Scott and Todd are still fighting. And Scott's like, I don't like you. We have to like, she's like, we haven't finished business and I don't like you. And Scott goes, "Tell it to the cleaning lady on Monday." And Scott goes, "What?" And it's because you'll be dust on Monday because we're going to pulverize you. And the cleaning lady, she dusts. And Scott's so confused about what he's talking about. And this scene's so funny because like when he says the cleaning lady, she dusts. But he does like a little hand waving motion like a duster, which always cracks me up for whatever reason. Yeah.
Because it's just the way he says it. He's like, "She does." Like, that explains it all. Like,
she does.
That's all that the cleaning lady does. She just does.
She does? Because Scott's so confused because he goes, "Well, but what's on Monday?" Because tell it to the cleaning lady on Monday. And then Todd is just like, he goes into this explanation on what he's talking about. Because he's like, "Well, it's today is Friday, and she has the weekends off, so Monday, right?" Which, like, still makes no sense, but it's just really funny how he tries to explain himself.
And after that, Envy goes out, like, "What he's trying to say is that I'm gonna kill you."
I've used that a lot. Pilgrim is kind of like a cult classic at this point. It's not, like, you know, super mainstream, I think. So like when you quote it from, when you quote something, a lot of people get it. And I quote that line a lot, like, you know, tell it to the cleaning lady on Monday. And it's very, I have to explain it every time. It's not even a good comeback to use.
So Scott gets, he gets like launched into this table, a craft services table. It's got all these snacks and coffee on it. And Todd is gonna blow up Scott, or he's gonna do something to Scott. And so Scott's like, "Let's have a drink, Scott. Cheers." He's gonna blow Scott. He's going to beat his dick off. And so Scott's like, let's have a drink before you kill me. And so he gets them both coffee and he holds one out to Todd. And part of Todd's powers is he can read minds. And so he goes, I know what you're doing. I can read your mind. And you put dairy creamer in this. And since he's a vegan, he can't have it. And so Scott's like, or Todd's like, I'll have this one instead. And so he takes a sip of it. And Scott's like, actually, you just drank half and half. And Todd goes, what? And he's like, I did it in this cup, but I just thought about really hard putting it in this cup. So I tricked you.
With my mind and all, because Todd's always saying something about his mind's eye like a douchebag. And so Scott's like, yeah, with my mind's eye and all.
If there's Vegan Academy, there must be other vegan entities in the world, right, Bridget?
Right. Like, like the vegan police, who is Thomas Jane the Punisher, and also the other guy, I can't remember his name, but he was in
a lot of weird, like,
yeah, he was in Boondock Saints too. Let me see, vegan police, I think we've talked about this. Clifton Collins Jr., he's the other vegan police, and I think we've talked about this on the podcast before. One year Mary wanted to go as the vegan police for Halloween, and she asked our friend Beth to do it with her. And then
we lived together.
Yeah, and then Beth got all the vegan police stuff for me and her to go for Halloween. And Beth, and kind of like accidentally uninvited Mary from her own costume. But I did not go as the vegan police that year. It was actually Mary and Beth did it, but it was funny because poor Mary came up with this idea and then she was uninvited to be a part of that idea. She was kind of like Steve Jobs, you know?
Yeah.
Steve Jobs created Apple and then they invited him to no longer work for his own company. So.
Exactly. I'm Steve Jobs. We're the same. It was just so funny because Beth was like, we're thinking of a group costume or something. And I was like, oh, you know, it'd be so funny, vegan police. She's like, good idea. I'll get all the things together. And then like 2 weeks later, it's like, me and Bridget are going as vegan police if you want to be part of our costume. And I was like, I told you.
You're like, that was my fucking costume.
All right, I guess. So, whatever.
But, love Mary. We do.
Mm-hmm, sure. So the vegan police do show up, which is really funny. And so he violated vegan rules, and because drink the half and half, and then this is where the vegan police come in. They just like bust in through the wall, and they tanked like they've got like, I don't know, they look like douchebags.
Well, I mean, they're vegan honestly. Police. I mean, come on.
Yeah, they're vegan police douchebags, and they have like sunglasses on, and they're like wearing tank tops, and instead of. They don't have guns, but they hold their fingers out like guns. They have finger guns.
They're going to finger blast.
Finger bang you.
Finger bang.
They're going to finger bang you. And, like, these little green, like, lasers, like, come out of their fingers. And they're essentially holding, like, Todd hostage with their finger guns. And so they come to arrest Todd because he violated the vegan rules, and they go, no vegan diet, no vegan powers. And he goes, but don't I get 3 strikes? This is only my first offense. And then one of the vegan police is like, this date, you took a plate, you knowingly, and he goes, gelato isn't vegan. And this is one we always say also. It's because one of the vegan police says, it's milk and eggs, bitch. So now whenever we go by, it's like, oh, I want to go get gelato. There's a gelato place. It's like one of us is bound to say, like, it's milk and eggs.
Yeah, but never gets old. I'm not being sarcastic. Like, we laugh every time. Like, we know it's coming. Really, it's just a matter of who's going to say it first. Mm-hmm. But it's funny because one time, Will, you had a question. I can't remember what it was. Mm-hmm. But it was about, like, is this vegan? And I said, no, it's got milk in it. And you were like, vegans can't have milk. And then the way Will goes, wait a second, milk and eggs, bitch. He's like, no, they can't have milk. That's how he remembers if it was vegan or not.
Milk and eggs, bitch. Can't have it if you're vegan. And then we also say this upcoming one too. It's because the guy is like, on this date also, you partook on a plate of chicken parmesan. And then Todd goes, chicken isn't vegan? Which is, I don't know, one of us always just says it.
The chicken part is really funny because, like, milk and eggs, like sometimes people don't under, like, it takes them a minute to know, like, what.
It's just so funny because it's an act, you know, chicken's not vegan.
Yeah, especially if you're on that diet. You're like, I can't eat this? What? Mm-hmm. And so the vegan police, they de-veganize Todd and they take away his powers. And when that happens, like, his hair gets all flat and, like, gross.
And less douchey.
And less douchey. And then Scott's like, you once were vegan, but now you were, you're now you're gonna be gone. And then Todd looks at him because he's confused and goes, vegan. And then Todd, like, Scott headbutts him. And then he explodes and into a pile of coins, into a pile of money. And it's so funny because, like, Scott does that and, like, Envy's like, oh shit, my boyfriend just exploded. And Scott's like, we were just in this fight. And when the vegan police leave, they, like, leap out of the hole and they high five and you hear them go, yeah. It makes me laugh
all the time. Just, it's like in slow motion too.
Yeah.
Like there's all this destruction laying around them and they're like, yeah, and then they run out. It's so funny.
Yeah, it makes me laugh all the time because everybody's just like, oh, I'm devastated about what happened and whatever, and they're like, yeah. And and so yeah, that's like the fight. That just like this whole segment is really funny. And Envy's really pissed about Scott killing her boyfriend. And Scott's like, well, yeah. And then he says something like, well, you kicked my ass when you broke my heart or something like that. And then he calls her Natalie because that's her actual name. And she's like, nobody calls me that anymore. And then he says, well, maybe they should. So it's like kind of like a remember who you are. Like Lion King to Brie Larson. And then Scott leaves with Ramona. And this part's really funny too, because Julie, Aubrey Plaza's character, just kind of peeks into the shot that's like on Brie Larson. And she's like, for the record, I'm really pissed for you right now. And she goes, shut the fuck up, Julie. And it's just so funny just because whenever someone swears, it's, you know, that black bar appears on their mouth, which Scott doesn't understand how people do it, which is great. So that's like the third X. It's like the best battle, I think.
Yeah, it is.
In the movie.
I'll be honest.
Even better than the last one.
After the vegan police, like after this scene, it gets kind of stagnant for a little bit, I'd say, up until the final fight scene, for me anyway. But I don't know, the vegan police are still the number one.
I think like the fourth battle with like Roxy is pretty good, and then the one with like the Katyanagi twins is kind of, it's not as good, but it's cool because it's like their bands battling against each other, and their bands take on like animal personas, and it's like a kaiju fight type of thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so that's kind of interesting, but I don't think it's as good as like a person fight. I want to see people fight, not animals. Uh-huh.
Yeah, like four is Roxy, and it basically kind of goes over how Romana keeps saying exes and not ex-boyfriend, and and then when
Scott's like, why do you keep saying that?
Yeah. And then Scott finds out, and then he has this little like inner head. He sees like a little gauge bar where it says like "don't get it" and "got it" and "got it." And so it goes from "don't get it" and it swings over to "get it." <It's> like why she keeps saying exes? Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Because he goes, "You had a sexy phase."
Yeah.
And Roxy's like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, and the whole thing's about like, because it was supposed to, it was a Roxy and Ramona battle, but it turns out that in order to win, Scott has to defeat Roxy. And what was it? When Scott finds out he has to fight Roxy, he's like, I can't hit a girl. They're so...
I think he says like they're like gentle or soft or something like that.
Yeah, he says like, I can't hit a girl because they're soft. So what Ramona does basically grabs Scott and like basically uses his body to fight Roxy. And the way that Roxy basically dies, she dies from orgasm. Because she separates Roxy and Scott in slow motion before, oh yeah, Roxy lifts her leg up, about to like basically like heel kick onto the ground.
One of my favorite lines. Yeah, too. She's like, I'm gonna, what is it? She's like, I'm gonna F your, or I'm gonna,
your BF your is BF gonna be F in the B.
In the B.
Yeah.
Your BF's gonna get F in the B. Which is so, because she kicks his ass too. And mm-hmm. so she's gonna like, I don't know, like bring her leg down up on Scott. And this is like a slow motion part too, where Ramona's like explaining like Roxy's weak spot, and Scott's like, oh, I don't even know about this.
And it's like right under her knees, like, if you poke her under the knee. So as Roxy brings her leg down, Scott just like puts his finger up, basically like goes ting behind her knee, and Ramona starts having an orgasm and she explodes into coins. Oh, not Ramona, Roxy. Has a orgasm explodes in the coins.
Mm-hmm. She orgasms so hard she explodes.
Yes.
Literally.
She explodes coins. But then between this whole scene, it's just where Ramona and Scott has a little tiff and like talking about the exes, and then they have a little break. And so that happens, and then fast forward to, because I want you guys to watch this movie, so I'm just going to jump around, and you guys should really watch the movie. So
you should.
It goes up to the next exes. It turns out to be the Katayanagi twins, and they're basically a, I guess you want to say, EDM artist.
Like so they Daft Punk.
Yeah, like Daft Punk, except not as cool. But they perform in a band because Sex Bob-Ombs is performing too, and whoever wins basically gets a record label. By this guy named Gideon, and the name Gideon is thrown out everywhere throughout the movie because it says like he's a good producer, but it turns out Gideon is the first, and he's the leader of the seven evil exes. And so when Scott finds out that Gideon is evil ex, he's like, okay, we gotta win this because I need to get to Gideon, because he turns out that Scott really wants to get Ramona back, because now Ramona's back with Gideon, that he sees her in the crowd with him. And so during this time, like Mary says, they had this giant battle of the bands, which is really cool. It's like EDM versus like rock, and it shows like their animal persona in front of the crowd, and they're like fighting all this stuff, and then they supercharge their band and basically kill the Katanagi twins by, what was it, the amps just falling on them or something? Yeah. And so after that happens, they basically won, because obviously if you die, you don't win. So they won, they got the record label, and this is where they meet Gideon. And this is where Scott's like, you know what? No, screw you, Gideon, like, because you're Ramona's, you know, first evil ex and you're with her again. The band actually was like, you know what? We're going to sign. It's fine. It's okay. We'll sign. And then we'll replace you with Young Niles. So that's what they do. And so then it flash forwards to where Scott has this internal battle. And Gideon actually calls Scott one time in the apartment. And this is another funny part where Gideon's just kind of talking. He's being all sly about like, hey, you want to see your girl back? Why don't you meet me at my place and we can talk it out or something? And on the other line of the phone, you hear Scott screaming. Like, it sounds like he's just super frustrated, but it turns out he just spilt like hot coffee on his pants. And that's the reason why he screamed, because Gideon's like, oh, don't get so mad. He's like, no, I just spilled coffee on my pants.
It's hot. It hurts.
Yeah, it's hot. It hurts. So yeah, so basically it flash forwards to where Scott goes to see Gideon, because that's where the Sex Bob-Ombs are finally playing and kind of doing like the record deal kind of concert as giant casino looking stage. And so Gideon talks to Scott and they have this huge battle because Scott's like, well, I want her back. And what was it? He does it for her this time at the first round and he gets the sword off his chest. Yeah.
It's like the power of love.
Yeah, the power of love. Yeah. So he's like, I'm here to get Ramona back because I'm doing it for her. And then a sword basically comes out of his chest and it has like all these stats. It's like, Scott earned the power of love. And it shows all these stats about the sword. It does a really cool fight scene where he fights the minions himself and finally goes up to Gideon. And Gideon basically pulls out a sword too. And they have a little fight and then they kind of talk it out. And then Knives comes out of nowhere and starts fighting Ramona and they have a little chick fight. And then as they're fighting, Gideon stabs Scott and basically kills Scott and then he dies. And then he goes into this like weird purgatory kind of thing. And he mentions that like that he should care about himself, not for others. And so he remembers that he has like this one up, like Mario and stuff like that, extra life. He does that and he redoes the whole scenario again. He knows exactly what's happening. It's like Groundhog's Day, except it's just him fighting everything. He's like, yeah, what was it? The guard. He's like, your hair sucks. And like he says all these things that he knows like the goons are going to say. He just says it before they say it. And he goes through the battle again. And then this time it's like, no, I'm going to do it for me. And so then the sword comes out again. It's like, Scott earned the power of self-respect. And they go through this whole battle again and to a point where Gideon and Scott, they get into a tie in the battle. And then Ramona and Knives talk it out because Scott's like, Knives, I know you're here, so just come on out. And so Ramona and Scott and Knives, they all gang up together to defeat Gideon after they were stalemate. And then Gideon loses. And another favorite line right here, when Gideon's just about to die, he gets really frustrated to Scott. He's like, do you know how long it took to get all the X's together? It took 2 hours.
So much work.
Yeah.
He's also probably one of my favorite X's because he's such an asshole.
Yeah, and Gideon is played by Jason Schwartzman, by the way. I don't know that. So just by gauging the actor himself, you know he's going to be great. But yeah.
But just, 2 hours.
You know how long it took me to get all the X's together? 2 hours. And so after he says that, like he says this thing, and Scott basically just like kicks him in the head and his head explodes into coins and starts raining coins and all this good stuff. And everyone gets back together and gets along and like getting out of the stadium or whatever the concert.
I think it's just real fast too. Like when Gideon explodes, it's really funny because like during the fight scene, like Sex Bob-omb is there because they signed like the record label, and so like they're providing like the soundtrack to the fights. But then when Gideon explodes, like Steven, the lead singer of the band's like, are we not getting paid for this? And so they start like picking up all the coins that he exploded into because they're worried about not being paid for their record deal, which I think is just really funny. Cause it's just like, and then Kim is just like, I can't believe, you know, she does she finger banks herself again. Yeah. She's like, fuck this.
Yeah. And then after the coin situation, they're about to leave, but they think the battle's over, but turns out it's not over. Turns out that Scott has to fight someone else and it's called Mega Scott. So if you haven't played video games or if you have played video games, think of it as like Dark Link from like the Ocarina of Time or like basically a shadow evil version of you and he has to fight him. So it's like Scott's like, okay, ladies, I'll just meet you outside and let me just deal with this real quick. So it's like Scott versus Nigga Scott. And it just cuts right after that. It cuts to the outside where Ramona and Nash are just casually talking and it shows Mega Scott and Scott just coming out of the elevator and just casually talking, like, oh yeah, yeah, I like that. Let's catch breakfast tomorrow or something. And it's like you expect them like one of them to be like bloodied and like one, but no, they both walk out. just talking to each other. And just like, let's get breakfast tomorrow and we'll just hang out. That's cool. And Scott's like, you know what? He's actually a pretty cool guy. And so as they're talking, Nice and Scott were like talking and saying like, hey, maybe we could try and work this out again, maybe. And so Scott's like, nah, I was too mean to you. I cheated on you. I was going to care for you, so I don't want to hurt you.
It was
you
a
again.
Bad person.
Yeah, I was a bad person. And so Nice was like, okay, well, it's like, I'm too cute for you anyway or something.
She's like, I'm better than you, actually. Yeah, so
I'm better for you, actually. Like, she says it in a flirty way. Like, she kind of smiles at him and, like, walks away. And, and Scott has this thing throughout the whole movie where when someone mentions about his hair, the next cut to him shows him wearing a hat because of envy, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, he had this thing where after he had a haircut, he got broken up by envy. So every time someone mentions about his like messy hair or anything, he'll have like no hat on. And he's like, oh yeah, look at your hair. And then it cuts back to him. He'll always have a hat back on. But Ramona like talks about his hair and he has a hat on again. And so they're talking and because they're broken up at this point, but then Ramona and Scott does a little talk and then they get back together and they exit this door, which is a weird, like trippy space kind of thing where they enter the door and they live happily ever after in the end.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a ride. It's a wild ride.
It is. It's up and down, coming at you from all directions.
You should definitely watch it. It still holds up 10 years later. Like, I watch it every year. I might watch it after this, actually.
Yeah. Again. It's really good. And there's like a lot of like the IMDb trivia, it's really long. Like there's so much trivia and like so many like Easter eggs and like fun things that they did for filming. So like maybe like if you miss something, like the next time you watch it, you'll catch on. Or if like you'd be like, oh, okay, I see that. Fun fact, Beck actually did the music for the movie. So if you don't know who Beck is, I don't know. Learn. Beck is a good musician, so.
Get some education going.
Educate yourself.
Educate yourself.
Yeah. It, definitely watching it. The more you watch it, the funnier it gets.
Mm-hmm. And you expect the, and you already know the joke's coming, but you're just laughing in excitement because you're just like, they're going to say it. They're going to say it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You should watch it if you haven't watched it. And if you haven't read the graphic novel, you should read that too. By Brian Lee O'Malley did those. Mm-hmm.
And what's nice, the graphic novel is pretty like, or the movie is pretty spot on with the graphic novel, which is awesome. So
mm-hmm.
That's really rare for that.
Yeah, it's like, it's really good, you know, it's like if you do the movie, if someone does like an adaptation of like your material and like the person who, you know, is like the creator of it is like, yeah, this is badass. You did a great job. So you can count on this to be good. It's not like trying to think of like some shit movie. Someone is like, I hated it. I can only think of Stephen King and The Shining.
I do too.
I think it's interesting just like how, you know, if you're the creator, it's like, this guy, I didn't like what he did. He fucked it up.
Yeah.
You know, for whatever reason. But this isn't like a situation like that.
Stephen King is kind of out there, but Stanley Kubrick is like fucking nuts. So... I mean,
they're both out there.
Yeah, but Stanley Kubrick, I don't know, like, I mean, God bless him, but I've heard he was kind of a dick anyway.
Hmm.
He treated the actress, what was her name? Shelley. He treated her like shit. Yeah, he treated her like shit. Like, mm-hmm. PTSD levels of shit. So.
Yeah, I heard from, like, a lot of people that making that, like being on the set of that movie was really hard.
He was like emotionally abusive. except for to the child, the little boy. He was apparently very gentle with him, but the adults he didn't give a fuck about. So
he's like, fuck all you people. Yeah, and this child is a little angel.
He's precious. Nobody tell him he's filming a horror movie.
Yeah, that sucks. But I feel like on this movie, it seems like everybody loved it and no one had a bad time.
Right.
So you don't have to worry about that here.
Mary, if you're really down for this, I really want to hear you review the Eric Church songs. And you have to listen to them all the way through. Okay.
Okay, you know what? I'll do it, but only if you, I don't know if you've listened to the Hosier songs I sent you, but I want to hear what you thought about
it. I listened to two of them.
Oh, okay. Not all
of
them.
I will do that. I will do that. That's a fair trade.
I mean, is it? I feel like one's better than the other.
I feel like you can't.
And one
make
is
that
from
assumption.
Ireland. Yeah.
One's from, you know, North Carolina?
That's awful.
I can't remember if he's from North or South. I think it's North Carolina.
That's way less cool than Ireland.
Have you ever been to North Carolina, Mary?
I don't want to go to North Carolina. I want to go to Ireland,
beautiful.
I'll tell you that.
It's fucking beautiful. So, anyway.
I guess I'll take your word for it. I'm not going.
Okay, we're just going to do a tradesies. Will, would you like to be in this?
No, don't do it, Will. It's a trick.
Will, you'll love it.
Okay. Sure.
No, you don't have to. I'll send you the songs and you can choose to listen to them or not.
Okay.
He won't. He totally won't. But yeah. I just want you to know, because Mary, when you were at the concert, you couldn't really hear the songs. And that was A.
I feel like
B,
I heard them pretty well.
B.
They weren't enjoyable.
You were miserable.
Because I didn't like what I heard at the concert with my ears.
Well, now you're going to listen to it, like, actually, truly. Listen to the lyrics. And they're going to change your life.
I feel like it's going to change my life for the worse. Is that what you're saying?
No, there's a new song called Lynyrd Skynyrd-Jones.
Sounds awful.
Anywho. So next time on No Stupid, our podcast is kind of evolving a little bit, which we hope you guys enjoy. We're having fun with it. We're still trying.
We're growing and changing.
We're growing and we're not changing. We're just growing.
I think if you're changing,
you know,
you're growing.
So yeah. So there's that. So next time, Mary and I will be reviewing songs by Hosier and Eric Church. Thank you for coming and, you know, listening to us. Anyway, goodbye, I guess.
Goodbye.
Bye.
No, stupid.